has a memorandum about new peace initiatives that had in it a very prepared down the line, that had in it a brief reference to the possibility of the PLO thing, which was a mistake. And he saw that, and I think if no one summoned him down, he probably took off on that. I just don't myself know the facts on that. If anybody summoned him, I think it's possible that it was George Ball. I just don't know.
How hot's George's blood pressure these days?
He's pretty relaxed. I think he sort of feels that it's not up to him to carry the torch anymore on the Vietnam thing. He's said he feels that he's had his say, and he's not tragic or grumpy about it. He's not going to let it become an issue around the department or during the summer, that kind of thing. And he can be helpful on some of the moves that ought to be considered in connection with it when the time comes. So he's not in bad shape.
Now, where are we on thoughts are we giving now? I've given a lot of it, but I haven't come up. I really want a good new person in man's place, but I haven't found one. What has been your thinking on it? Is it gelled anymore?
Well, I think the key qualification for a man on that spot is someone who is utterly loyal to you and to me. Now, in terms of running this department and people who are familiar with it and government and that kind of thing, and on the inside part of the job, I don't think of anybody better than or even comparable to Luke Battle. In terms of somebody who might help more on the public side and with some of these liberal senators, we might be able to better that. This is one of the reasons I thought about our friend in the Philippines, Bill Blair. I would be interested in the name of Gene Rostow, whose name has come up in different places.
I only saw that in the column. Who originated?
I don't know. Since I saw it in a column, I suppose that somebody had been talking about it around town. Nobody has spoken to me about
it. Nobody has to me.
But George and I have talked about recruiting this fellow for some time. He is an able fellow. It wouldn't have been too easy while Walt was over in this department to have two brothers at the top spots here, but he's an extraordinarily able fellow, dean of the law school, you know, at Yale. And so that's a new name and a fresh person here that would be, I think, well received by a lot of people. And he's helped us, I think, generally on our foreign policy problems. But I think that's something that... Now, the other possibility is to just leave it open for a bit until we feel out what you want to do about the number two spot and how that shapes up with...
Do you have any other possibilities besides one we discussed, gentlemen?
Not really, except some of the old standard names that perhaps are getting too old these days. But if this man is in good health and vigorous and ready to roll up his sleeves and really go to work, I'd be very comfortable about that myself.
And we told him to get that little task group busy on what that paper today. You said that we could at least staff it out and study
right.
It. So I guess that'll be doing. We can see if he's able to. I would doubt that he is.
Right.
And I kind of hate to start off with a man that physical condition and that heavy job. When George goes out, there's going to be some real major operation.
I suppose it's just inconceivable that Doug Dillon would do that.
Yes, I think so.
A number of people have... I mean, Avril Hammond became an assistant secretary of state once. After having been a cabinet member. And I just don't know. I think he would carry with it a strong presumption that when the time came to change this chair, that he would step into this chair. And you might not want to have your hands tied that way. But
I think that's going to be true, Dean, of anybody that goes in there. He's not going in there unless he's got his eyes longing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he would consider it humiliating if you dropped dead tonight, if he didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you feel that way if you were undersecretary and you felt like you were equipped for it and so forth?
Well, quite frankly, Mr. President, I wouldn't, but I'm a little different kettle of fish on this kind of thing.
I believe the average fellow that...
I mean, I stepped down from a deputy undersecretary here to be an assistant secretary once myself as a volunteer. And, I don't know, the scuttlebutt that maybe Cy Vance might be available.
I like him, but I wouldn't think of him much in that way. I believe he's right where he is.
I don't think David Bruce would take this job.
I expect it'd be a little heavy for him, too, at his age, wouldn't it?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we tried to get him to do it once, but he'd done it before, and I think he decided that...
Has he had this identical job before?
Yes, he was undersecretary briefly at the turnover of the Eisenhower administration.
And he didn't like it?
Well, I think that I think that he probably would agree with you that he's getting a little too old for that kind of job.
Mm-hmm.
He's been through it all, and he's... I just don't think he'd be... unless he had in the back of his mind, and I've never had any reason to think so, that if he did that, he would come into this chair at some time, and you could do worse than that.
Is he about the best senior ambassador you have if you were replacing Ball with someone, and you could get whoever you wanted? Would he be better than anybody else?
If you offered me my choice of all of our ambassadors abroad, of course I would put Dave Bruce at the first of the list. Yes, absolutely. It's a matter of integrity, a matter of ability and experience and that kind of thing. He's just terrific. And I'm not sure that we might not want to try him out if this other matter, health matter, doesn't clear up. It's just possible he might do it. And I could do it without involving you in any way. I mean, I could find out that question.
Yes, I think that's something we want to give some thought to.
Right.
I have never talked to a man that has better rapport with me. And I never knew him at all. He started from zero, and no one has ever... The biggest sales talk I've ever had about him, you've given right now. It just comes naturally with us.
Well, you know, he's one of those old-fashioned men that believes that the principal job of a public servant is to serve the president. And he's learned that over the years, and this is a constitutional view of the sort that George Marshall held and others, and he's one of those boys, and those are just worth their weight in gold.
I think you might find out. If you see him, just say, you know, I've been thinking, might have to force you to come back in here. We got Tom Mann and George Ball and all these folks going. I hope that you'll, before Tom, I guess this is last day, Monday, I guess, is last day before you leave. I hope you'll have a little talk with him and try to not let him get in more bitter than he is.
Yes, I've had one, but I will have another with him.
Okay.
Thank you.